So hi, everybody. If you missed the beginning, I'm Matt Turner, helped kick off this thing, been involved for years. And I am very, very excited to bring you this panel for two good reasons. One, it's a great topic. These are great experts. Second, we're going to get you guys all energized to hear about going to Mars next. So we're ready. Okay, so I'm kind of a planner. And so I have this little, things written out, you know, what are we going to say? But before we get started, I thought I would actually just tell you guys, because I sent everybody here this little document, and I'm just going to tell you the goals that I gave this panel, and then you guys can judge us later. So inspire the audience with what is possible with metadata and terminology governance. Tell real stories about the adoption of metadata strategy. Leave the audience energized with reference points, success stories, actionable advice. In short, be the best panel at smart content. You think we can do this?
No pressure.
All right. So I actually wrote all those words. That's kind of how I am. But yeah, we're here for a really great topic. This is about metadata. And, you know, I mean, look, we're here a couple years into this. We're talking about metadata. We're at a point where data really is a valuable resource. But there's still a ton that remains to do. How can we help organizations get the most value from it? What are the barriers holding us back? How can we measure success? And how do we break through all those barriers without losing sight of what's really important? Using that data to get our content out to all the great fans that love them. So to answer these questions, I'm joined by a great panel of experts. We have Jason Lambert, the executive director, content licensing and metadata, Sony Pictures Entertainment. You guys all have the longest titles. Yona Levinson, metadata strategy and terminology governance at Warner Media, and stepping in at the last minute, because Meg Morrissey at Walt Disney Studios couldn't make it, is Yael Miller. She's the senior content manager, global operations for Disney Plus.
Global content operations.
Oh, I got it wrong. I got it slightly wrong.
You guys got my picture up at the last minute, so I think you guys are
winning. And
we have
the full title. So I just said who you guys are. Give us all a little bit of more of an intro. What do you do? What do you like to do? What's cool about it? Let's have you go first.
So I'm just going to make sure we're all on the same page about terminology, which is one of the many things that I do every day. So operations, any operations, I explain, we're firefighters. So if there is a fire, we put it out. But also we try and prevent fires. So we try and figure out how not to have that fire happen again. So content operations is the same thing with content. Specifically, what global content operations for Disney Plus does is, if you see it on Disney Plus, one of my colleagues or myself touched it in some way. And that's what I do.
All right, awesome.
I think it's one of the things you'll notice is that the word data is not in my title. So I really focus on terminology and strategy and then the governance of that terminology. Because if you can't get your terminology right, then you're going to end up, and I keep hearing this between yesterday and today, a lot of, you know, like dirty data, this, that, and the other. You can't find your stuff because it may not be named properly. So my goal is to have appropriately consistent terminology applied across the organization, so then whatever world you're in, you can figure out what you're searching for, so it facilitates search, retrieval, and reporting.
My long descriptive title describes what my team does, which is content licensing and metadata. So the content licensing side, Sony has lots of people that are licensing full feature films and television programs. They have one group that is primarily responsible for licensing clips from those feature films and television programs, or the photos that were used to market those programs, or the stock footage that was generated in the creation of those programs. So that's us. If you want Captain Phillips, there are lots of people that you can license that from at Sony. If you want the scene of Tom Hanks saying, "You're the captain now," that's us. The metadata piece comes in because if we cannot find the scenes and moments and photos that our customers want to license from us, well, then we just can't license it. So over time, we've had to develop a pretty significant, robust skill set around how we catalog and manage these inventories of content that are a little bit off to the side of what Sony's core business is.
Cool. I thought you were going to just keep going, and you got to We got to tamp it down. We'll get there. Okay, so Yael, you gave us a firefighter. You know, the idea that you're out there making it work. I love the role. But you guys are not off the hook. So what do you really do? You yourselves. Do you think of yourselves as sort of herding cats, making the donuts? What do you every day? When people say, yeah, that Jason is owner, yeah, he's a real, he does, what does he do?
He peddles stock footage. He's like a stock footage peddler.
All right. A peddler, all right.
In a little
you
cart,
got one?
Right? In a little cart.
I think sometimes it is herding cats, but a lot of it is herding terminology kittens, so that you can I have a lot of spreadsheets which I don't really like to own up to, but we do have a taxonomy tool. We have across the enterprise we have several taxonomy tools, so that's also could be herding taxonomy tools. But at the end of the day, you want to figure out what your preferred term is versus an equivalent term. So these are library science speak, because you could have TTL for title, you could have title, you could have name, you could have show, but what is it really? What are you really trying to get to? So I try and make sure that it's all consistent.
So when
it's a fantasy world.
So if a taxonomy is in a spreadsheet being worked on, it's a cute little ontology?
Yes.
It's a little kitten ontology?
It could be a kitten ontology, and then, but it ends up, I do a lot of mapping and to make sure I can figure out what it is, and I'm working on an enterprise data model to make sure that everything is herded and corralled.
Well, that sounds like now you're getting into cats. I wanted to know, like, where the cute kittens were and all this stuff. All right, so thanks for the perspective. So you guys all work for what could seem like very much the same kind of organization. Big content holders making their mark in the world, but I think they're actually all really different. So I want to take a second to take a step back and just talk about your organizations. And I actually added this part so that I could make this one little joke with Jason, which is that Sony seems like the most stable studio, doesn't it?
Sure. I mean, we're not launching Sony Plus or PlayStation All Access, so I don't have that problem to deal with that I know most of you are dealing with, but I think with every corporate structure, you're trying to figure out a way to break down silos and connect data that's coming from different groups, and how do you pull all of that content together so that you're not only, for us, servicing third-party customers, but also figuring out ways to improve efficiencies within the organization, whether it's them using our content or, more frequently, them using the data we're creating to enhance the products that they are then pushing out to consumers.
Okay, so Sony, again, stable process. Sounds good. So I think I was going to pick on Yael next.
Sure.
So there's some news at Disney. There's some big thing that people are using out there in the world.
Disney Plus?
Disney that thing,
Plus.
That thing.
Relatively new, launched in November, streaming service, which I work on. What is different about Disney Plus specifically is that it's family friendly, so that limits what we show, and that was a deliberate choice. I think what's different than Warner Media and Sony is that Disney has a brand with recognition worldwide. So that's all the brands. So Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, and perhaps not as much National Geographic, but still. So we're lucky in that way than other folks that aren't known as much.
So I have to, you mentioned the family focus. Obviously, if so many OTT platforms, probably everybody's faced this thing. I said, no, I'm not doing that, or we're going to drop Hulu or something. I can't add another one. And then my daughter was texting with my son, and they're like, why? They're like, The Mandalorian is amazing. And I'm like, wait a minute. They went, and they stole my credit card.
We don't encourage that behavior. It should be a family decision.
Well, once I was hooked, I did approve. I made it so that I really just was testing them. So Yona, what's happening with Warner Media? And that's not Warner Brothers. It's not HBO. It's something.
Language metadata table, which.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Yeah. It's the Warner metadata table.
But actually, I want to just mention that Yael has been in prep for Disney Plus. Yael and folks at Disney have had to do a tremendous amount of work with regards to what are the language codes going to be, and provided many of the use cases that are supporting this. And so it was really cool to have that, because now it's supported from that perspective, and it just makes it richer, and it shows that we can all partner, you know, and you've been on a couple of calls as well. So it's all cool. And other stuff that's going on is that I think we have something called HBO Max coming out in the very near future. So there's a lot of work going on there as well, and a lot of data searching and terminology alignment in order to get everything out the door, as would happen in any organization. Also, because AT&T purchased Time Warner, it was a year ago, February. So that's bringing together then CNN, HBO, Warner Brothers, Turner, and all the folks that go with that. I think I hit them all. So it's a lot of work. And then there's all the analytics organizations that are owned also, I think, under Warner Media, as well as AT&T. So it is like Data City.
Data City, a lot coming, but it's still evolving, right? I mean,
absolutely evolving. And again, that's where having some standard metadata terminology ends up being really crucial.
So let's come back to metadata. And I said at the beginning that it's metadata is a valuable resource. It's just like breathing in every day in all these companies. Is that true? Is metadata and the investment in data part of the strategy for either the teams you work in, or if you want to keep on going up, the companies
that's
you work for?
That's the softball question. Like, is data valuable?
But let's think about my examples. I want examples. With specificity.
Absolutely. So we started the day, and I think it might have been Eric or it might have been Nona who was talking about this, but 6 years ago, data was sort of this new thing that it wasn't new, but it was really starting to gain traction within the industry. And I think at that point, at least in my business, in my interactions with some of the executive teams, it was this humorous conversation that you would sometimes have, where you would have to say, no, not megadata, metadata, and then explain what that was and why it was valuable and what they were going to do with it. And you don't have those conversations anymore, because I think the industry has not just seen what we're doing internally, but just seen what's happening throughout culture and business in general. Like, data is valuable. There's labor, there's capital, and there's data. Right, and data has become the third piece of that we can use for driving business decisions and increasing the output that we have.
All right, sounds like we won the war at Sony.
And data obviously is very important at Warner Media, especially because we have these groups that have been separate, even under, you know, Time Warner, we're still separate companies now coming together, and you want to be able to measure across. And this... what I'm about to say doesn't reflect on Warner Media, but a couple years ago I was at a conference at Grace Hopper, which is the Women in Technology conference.
Absolutely.
And I was talking to folks who were looking for analytics jobs, and I would go, like, do you know what metadata is? And they would go, I've heard of it. So, and these are people who are using data and metadata, having to go fishing in your data lake and pull it out. And it's really, there's a lot of education that seems to have happened over the past couple of years, and that is then helping organizations like mine, because people know what they're looking for.
Right, so I imagine consumer business is a lot of data. Is a part of the strategy?
There's a lot of data, in particular in the Disney Plus area. I'm going to promote the use of EITR and the annual participant meeting yesterday. If you see Guy, one of my colleagues, Dave Lindsay, gave an amazing presentation about how we used EITR and Movie Lab's digital distribution framework to actually launch Disney Plus, which means literally everything we sent, it was, you know, data structured in nice ways that according to standards. So Disney Plus is standing on top of all this data behind the curtain or beneath the water, and we hope that it's a frictionless experience for the consumer, but everything is driven by various standards.
The product development itself comes from data. Okay, so I wanted to dive into hands-on, what are you guys doing? And I think you just started off, so why don't we go back to you, Yael? Just talk about creating and operating the whole data. And now we're saying data, not metadata. I hope that that's okay for everybody, but we're just going to interchange.
So I answered
things.
The wrong question, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, let's come back to it. No, you didn't. I think let's just go another level deep and just talk a little bit about kind of what do you do in content operations and how does it...
We make a lot of spreadsheets, and then my personal goal is to kill as many spreadsheets as possible by standing up systems instead of spreadsheets.
All right. Automate.
Thank you. I know I'm among friends here. So, because the blessing and a curse of a spreadsheet is you can stand it up like this, right? So it's a short-term solution. Anytime longer than a couple of days, you get in trouble, right? Because that's when the emailing back and forth happens and the spreadsheet gets too big happens, and can we restore this? So one of the things that I think about is how can we move this data off a spreadsheet? So I spend a lot of my time thinking about that, as well as putting out fires that generally have to do with spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets equals fires. Can you give us a little bit of just kind of the sense of the scale? Like how many updates are there? How many shows? Kind of what's the churn like in the
thousands content operations? Because we're launching March 24th in Europe. So we already launched in the Netherlands, and that was our test of two languages with English and Dutch. And in Canada, we did French, Canadian, and English. But now we're going to be in France and Germany and Italy and Great Britain and some other ones that we've announced as well. So that becomes picture versions, or you can call them edits, to figure out where they go, because Pixar, for example, has a lot of what we call localization. There's a great article about Inside Out, where Pete Docter talks about how in a scene in Inside Out, the dad is imagining hockey. If you saw it in the United States, you saw hockey, but they switched it to soccer in a lot of countries. So making sure that the right version goes to the right territory or country, whichever terminology you prefer, is fun. And that's one of the other things that I work on.
So it's thousands, but then it's thousands of versions.
Usually there's episodic.
Total,
episodic has much less than movies, and animated will have more just because the nature of animation, you can do a graphic replacement opposed to live action, which is harder because you can see the seams.
So, Yona, just talk a little bit about specifically what are you governing and sharing over across WarnerMedia?
So we do have metadata standards that already exist across the enterprise. But again, different. Turner has had some stuff that's a little bit different than HBO and Warner Brothers, a little bit different. But the reality is that we've been working together for a while trying to make sure that our terminology is truly aligned. But that said, you may still have, there are still words that are being bandied about, and the same word may have, like, I don't know, does anybody use the word content type in your system? And does it, depending on who you're talking to, does it have different definitions? I should see more hands, so it's that kind of thing that somebody says, ooh, I know what this is. This is a content type. So again, trying to make sure that we have definitions. It's not just for the metadata entity or the term itself, but also for every control vocabulary or pull down value that's going to exist. So this way you really truly can get in the same page and then facilitate analytics and whoever else is measuring.
So, I was going to ask, maybe you can talk a little bit about what happens when you get even closer to being on the same page. Like, what are some of the things you can do now that you couldn't do before?
Well, one of the things that, again, because it's been, we were Time Warner with all these separate companies, and now we're Warner Media, and we're coming together, and there's more sharing, and HBO Max is going out the door sometime in early May. I don't actually remember the exact date, but I think like May 12th or something, but I don't remember. But so it just, we have to be able to measure all that stuff. So the sooner the terminology is, has, you know, once it started to get normalized for from that distribution standpoint, now people can figure out what they're going to measure more easily and how they're going to do it.
So it's really, I mean, this is really foundation. This is the bedrock to put the dirt on to create the foundation. It's really...
Well, and the other thing I think that, you know, my pop quiz whenever I'm interviewing somebody is what are the six different kinds of metadata? So I'm not going to...
All right. Anybody? Any takers?
Besides Randall.
One. One more. We just said metadata. Give us one more kind. Come on, we're in a room full of metadata nerds.
Okay, we have a taker back there. I have swag.
All right, we'll come back to
that.
Oh, we got a taker?
Administrative. That's
anybody
one.
Else?
One more.
Legal, so legal. Rights. Then there's description, descriptive, technical. So I have to do it in order. Descriptive, technical, administrative, usage, preservation, so archive, and then... And then, what was the other one? Structural. Yep.
Ooh.
So,
all right.
So you have to address all of those things in order to have a complete strategy. And people sometimes get things mixed up. And so you just—it's a lot of education as well.
It's a lot
of
human education, isn't it?
A lot of human education.
All right. So we got the archive. So let's get to Jason. So what are you? Hands-on, you just mentioned a couple things, finding the right clip.
Yona was talking about the data city. We have like a data village that we're trying to wrap our hands around. And it's specific to our business and our customer use cases, but we collect content from a lot of different business groups, and all of that content comes in with different terminology. It's primarily of a descriptive nature, but there's technical metadata and legal rights metadata and those sorts of things as well. And basically using not just... The human categorization to sort of pull these terms together, but developing tools and systems that will use natural language processing in order to identify as those terms are coming in, to sort them and organize them in our custom taxonomy and ontology so that we know it doesn't matter if you call it a dachshund or a wiener dog, we know that it's the same thing when it comes in without having to have somebody touch it and clean that up. I have a dachshund, which is why I like to use that example.
Does your data village live around a data lake?
It does not, but it goes into the data lake, just not directly through me. It has to hop on a boat to get to the middle of the data lake, and then they dump in it.
And then if you're having the what were the two dog terms?
Dachshund and wiener dog.
Dachshund and wiener dog. So this way, if you have a taxonomy tool, and I would actually, how many people have taxonomy tools or are aware that there are taxonomy tools in their organization? Again, very, not a lot. So again, if you can identify what is that preferred term versus these equivalent terms, that will also save you time, labor, effort, money, blah, blah, blah.
And it's been a tremendous success from our perspective as far as search and discovery, because we no longer have to worry, because we know that those two terms are synonymous, one is preferred, one is not preferred, right? And because we can manage the relationships between terms so that if somebody searches for dog, they know that both of those terms are nested under. You no longer have to make sure that you have attached every single possible keyword to every asset that somebody might search for.
That's huge.
You can run that through the taxonomy, and anybody can think about the way they use language and can run their searches and queries how they want to use it, and will still get back the same results. I'm curious if I can ask a question about you.
I've now lost control of the panel.
You're about to. So the term domestic, right? So domestic not only it will have a different definition depending on who the user is that is querying the
U.S.
system.
And Canada, right?
So whenever have you just they say abolished domestic from your taxonomies? Because I assume some people still want to use it.
I believe that there are those that want to use it, and I know that I believe that we have gone to international for non-North American or non-U.S. and Canada mm-hmm. content. But again, sometimes we get everything set up, it gets approved, and it goes over the wall. And like I said, data is not in my title, so I'm not always sure whatever other people do.
So is this is that kind of like is this are we getting to woke metadata? Like, oh, we're not actually the center here. Did you want to to add into the controversy.
But we're not
okay,
the
so
center.
I want to ask you. I want to ask you guys.
If you look at that, it was one of the panels earlier that talked about mobile devices, right? And U.S. is 10% of those mobile devices, right? So we are not the center, even though we often think that we are.
I made a joke about woke, but it's true. There are more stories to be told. Okay, so I want to get participation from all of you. And I want to then bring this back in to close it up. So I'm going to ask them a question, but I want all of you to think of a question. But even more than that, if you have a problem or something you're dealing with and you want to get some free advice, this is also a really great forum. So we're gonna, we have like 5 minutes. So we're going to ask a quick question, and then we're going to turn it over to you guys and finish it up. So, you know, I was going to ask the, like, how do you know success thing, but I like the future stuff better. So if I could just sort of walk in and just take away all the barriers, like you have as much money and time and resources as you want, what would you do for what you do at work? What would you change and what would you do with your job and the data?
Many more systems that all talk to each other in a logical manner that is always consistent.
So it would just run, and then you guys could just look at it running.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
More resources to support Yael's systems. So, no, it's just really, you have to have enough people. You know, everybody says, you know, like, oh, everything's going to be automated. But the reality is, and Yael and I, and I know from work that you've done as well, Jason, is that at a certain point, a human component needs to be introduced to help with the curation. Part of this with the AI and the ML stuff that's going on is that you have to train your system. So you need the human sometimes to direct the what those values end up being.
But more, okay, we're getting, is this uniform? If I could just give you, what would you do?
I would encourage procurement to make sure that when they license data in, that data is available to the entire organization.
So, okay, yay. A process change too. Okay, so I want to get some input from the audience. So, does someone have a problem or a question?
Oh God.
It's, you know, this is going to be fun.
Go, guy, go.
This and by the way, count. The next question should be over there.
Guy, yeah, running time does not count.
Question? Hey, I'm Randall Luco. I had a question. Kyle had said earlier that something to the effect that AI tools are like drinking from the fire hose and it's 60 to 70% accurate. Are you guys struggling with the same thing and where you're working where other parts of the organization are bringing these AI tools to you and having you vet them, and you're like, I can't use these in my current structure.
So AI accuracy, are you constantly having to say, no, it's not good enough?
It depends on the question that you're asking. Is it good enough to eliminate the human component? No, but none of them are.
It's not, I think Randall's question is not necessarily is the tool good enough, but can anything even be, is this tool appropriate within the organization to do what is being asked?
I have always taken the position that, I've heard different opinions on stage today, which I find interesting because people don't necessarily always agree. I have always felt that all data is worth capturing, even if you think it's a mess right now. If you have it, you may at some point be able to do something with it. So our position has always been, well, if you're going to give that to me, then I will take it. I don't know if I've still answered
that
question.
Well, he was talking about, so have you guys seen a lot of, I mean, there's some AI.
There definitely is. The Walt Disney Company itself has a lot of R&D departments that work on that stuff. There's some of my colleagues in the audience that are working on metadata, that kind of stuff generated.
Yeah, there's, but I mean, just to pitch some of the R&D stuff.
But it's not my department, so I'm not 100% sure what the answer is.
I think there's a team that actually has a process to evaluate that. Okay, one more problem or question.
25 seconds.
Do we have one?
Quick one.
Okay, so I'm going to take it back. So I have a thing about panels. I like to leave them on a lightning round. So you cannot say both if there's a choice, and if it's one word, you really have to say one word, okay? All right, so how much time do you spend trying to find something to watch? We actually heard the meeting statistic, but you need to pick between under 5 minutes, over 15 minutes, or in between.
Under five.
Ooh, what do you do?
In between.
In between?
In between.
All right, so no one over 15. Apparently 18 minutes on Netflix, you guys have it nailed. All right. Pick one.
I just watch reruns of The Great British Baking Show.
All right. Pick one, J-Lo or Shakira. Who is better, J-Lo or Shakira?
I know what you're going for there.
I decline to answer that question on the grounds that they are both wonderful.
All right. That's
there
good
you
enough.
Go.
Did you watch it?
Which?
Super Bowl halftime?
I didn't watch it. No. Sorry.
J-Lo, default.
I was having dinner.
All right. Your failed buzzword for 2020. What's going to be, when we look back, when we're here next year, what's going to be
it's
the thing that
March.
Everybody says, that. Failed buzzword for 2020.
Automation.
Ooh. Ouch. Right.
Yes, Jason.
I got nothing for you on this one. I'm sorry.
All right. That's
failed
okay.
Buzzword.
All right.
One more.
What? Okay, Boomer.
Oh.
Okay. Which will really make an impact first in entertainment? And I mean, like, not the way it is now. AR, augmented reality, or VR? Which one's going to get across the actual finish line first? Just pick one.
VR.
AR.
I'm going to switch the question and say using IDs in communication instead of the titles of content. Will make a big difference.
Yeah,
winner.
All right, we're going to lead you
winner.
With one word on the future of entertainment. Take us out.
Turner, you're killing me.
Happiness.
Come on. What? Happiness.
Lots of content. Many words.
Global perspectives.
All right, guys. More open. All right, thank you very much. Thanks, Guy.
Thank you, Matt. And, thank you. Thank you, panelists. That was awesome. Great way to end. Thank you. Great way to bring the engine.